Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Martin Luther King, a little excerpt of his message. Amen. And that little excerpt was dealing with service. Amen. And he, you know, laid it out. Amen. It doesn't matter about popularity. It doesn't matter about fame. It doesn't matter about awards. Amen. But it matters, amen, how well you serve. Greatness comes with serving and serving others. And that's what we want to talk about on today. That is the message that the Lord has placed in our heart on today, talking about serving and serving others. If you will get your Bibles and turn, amen, to the book of Luke, get on your cell phone and put it on the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 25th verse. Luke 10th chapter, 25th verse. And if you don't have it, we have it full screen for you right now. Full screen for your reading. Amen. So that you can read it with me. So that you know that I'm not making this up. I'm not creating my own scripture. Amen. But it was already written. Luke 10 and 25. And we're going to read beginning at the 25th verse. And we're going to read the scripture in its context, in its entirety. And it goes down to the 37th verse. And it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked upon him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him upon his beast and brought him to an inn. and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave it to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go, and do thou likewise.
Precious Lord Jesus. See?
Won't you pray with me, most heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus? Father, we come humble before thee this morning. God, we need you. Father, for we can do nothing without you. And Father, we want to first thank you, God, because we know that you're a good God and you're a gracious God. You're a merciful God. And God, we can, oh God, we need you. God, do it for us at this moment, in this hour. God, as we come together to worship you and to learn of you and to, oh God, expound on your word, oh God, to experience you, oh God, we ask, God, that you just touch right now. Father, touch those that are listening, God, those that are on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, hey, God, those that are on the website, oh Father God, those that are on YouTube, Father, we say thank you. Bless them now, God, when, however they're listening, God. God, we ask that you just touch them at this very moment, this very hour. Father, you know what their need is, oh God. You know those that are depressed, and you know those that are down and out. You know those that are suffering with pain. And Father, you know those that are grieving right now in sadness. You know, God, that those that are suffering financially. And God, you know, oh God, those that are, oh God, are frustrated with life. So, God, we ask, God, that we know that you are a way maker. We know, Father, that you're a deliverer. We know that you're a way out of no way. So we're trusting you right now, God, and we believe in you, for you are God, and we know that you're sitting high and you're looking low. So we humble ourselves at this very moment, in this very hour, and Father, that we may receive from you. Father, and whatever that you give us, God, we ask that you just help us to deliver it unto your people, God, that your church might be edified. And Father, we just want to glorify you in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, help us now at this very moment in this hour to do your will and do it your way. Let self, oh God, decrease that you might increase in us. Oh, Father, have your way with me this morning. Oh God, just bless, Lord, in a mighty way. We thank you. We praise you, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Father, we don't have to see it, but we believe your word. And Father, we believe right now, God, that you're going to deliver, Father. We believe that you're going to give us a word from on high, God. We believe, oh God, that you're going to, oh God, change minds and change hearts. Father, we believe, Father, that you're going to renew spirits. Oh, Father, we believe right now. We believe that you're going to deliver the captives. We believe, oh, that you're going to save souls. Father, we believe you right now. So because we believe you, Father, we say thank you. Because we trust you, Lord, we say thank you. Because we're dependent on you, Lord, we say thank you. Because it's you, O Lord, and not ourselves. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. We pray this prayer and many other things in Jesus the Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. We thank you on this morning for tuning in and watching and listening on this Sunday morning. We come to bring you the message of service of a servant. Service of a servant. Now, we listen to an excerpt of the late, great Martin Luther King, and he dealt with John and James when they were asking for the left and the right hand seats to sit on when he got into paradise. They were asking for leadership. They were asking for authority. And as the late Dr. Martin Luther King explained in his sermon, Jesus, you know, told them it's a good thing to want to be first. It's a good thing to want to be important. It's a good thing to want. It's a good thing to want to be important first, want to be great. It's a good thing, but we should want to be first to love. We should want to be first in our serving one another, serving humanity. That's where true greatness come from. And that is the whole essence of ministry and the purpose of ministry. It's not about fame. It's not about importance. It's not about title. It's not about what I'm doing. But it's simply about what we can do. And I think a lot of times we miss out on the greatness of God and his blessings because we're too busy trying to be important. We're too busy trying to be in control. And we're too busy trying to live and operate in a level where God has not chose for us to be. Yes, I feel like we have missed it. And if we look at our scripture on today, we look at the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 25th verse. And it says that, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, tempting Jesus, saying, Master, calling him a teacher, calling him a rabbi. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now it's a great question, a good question, but the question was asked in a mist. It was a question that was necessary, but the question was to tempt Jesus. It was a sarcastic question to see what Jesus knew. And you know, sometimes people come at you with sarcasm. People ask you questions knowing what the answer is, but yet they want to see if you are aware of the answer, to see are you aware of what is to be done, what is to be said. Me personally, I don't like to be tested. I don't care to be tested. I think it's a waste of time. If you believe I can do it, then let me do it. Don't test me. Don't tempt me. Don't take me through your process. I don't care to waste my time going through your process. But that's me. That's me. But Jesus entertained the young man, and Jesus turned his question around, and he said, "What is written in the law? For you a lawyer, you study the law, and you should know the law. What is written in the law?" And not only what is written, but question number two, how readest thou? In other words, how do you interpret it? How do you understand it? I already know that you know what it says, but do you know what it means? And the attorney looked to Christ and he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind. And thy neighbor, somebody ought to text that for me. Thy neighbor, somebody ought to send that message out on their chain text. Thy neighbor as thyself. Thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said, you know what you're talking about, brother. You got it together. You got it together. Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do, and you'll live. You want eternal life? We're all seeking eternal life. We want to conquer life. That's triumph life. We want to triumph life, church. We want to triumph life. And how do we triumph life? It says, love the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. You know what you're talking about, man. This is how you get eternal life. This is what is necessary. This is the service of a servant. This is the service of a servant. This is what we're to do. But this lawyer, this smart attorney, being trivial in the way that he was being, and he knew that he was trying to tempt Jesus and test Jesus, so he wanted to justify himself now. He wanted to make himself look good, and in the reason that he asked the question. So he comes back with another question, and he asked Christ, he says, well, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And this is the unique part of the whole situation of answering, who is my neighbor? Now notice that Christ didn't turn the question back to him at this point, but he took this moment to use it as a learning moment. He took this time to use it as a learning opportunity. So he then told a parable. And the parable goes a little something like this. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho, he fell among some thieves, and they stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and then departed, leaving him half dead. He was traveling from Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was the current location of the temple. It was the place where everybody gathered to go to church. And Jericho was 3,500 feet down the mountain at the basin. And it was a nice little flourishing city in the middle of a desert. So the man was leaving church, and he was on his way to destiny. The man was leaving worship, and he was on his way, but while he was trying to get to his destination, he fell among some thieves. He fell among some robbers. They strong arm robbed him. They just took everything that he had. They stripped him even of his raiment, his clothes. They took everything from him. And to make matters worse, not only did they take everything that he had, but they wounded him and then left him half dead. Brothers and sisters, I want to talk to you this morning. Sometimes we're just trying to make it to our destination, and we find ourselves among thieves. And they just want to rob us of what we have. There's some thieves that will lie on you and rob you of your dignity. There are some thieves that will talk about you and put you down and rob you of your character and who you are. There's some thieves. Yes. The man was leaving the place of worship and got robbed, trying to make it to his destination. Took everything that he had. He was trying to get somewhere. He was trying to go somewhere. Wasn't bothering nobody, amen, but just trying to move forward. But yet the thieves choose to rob him and wound him. In other words, they didn't only just take what he had, but amen, they decided, amen, to wound him, to hurt him, to bring harm upon his body, to bring pain to him, to bring aggravation. There's some young men in this world, amen, that are just trying to make it to their destination, but gun violence is wounding them. There's some young women that are just trying to make it through life, but amen, rape, amen, and sexual, amen, sins, amen, are wounding them. Molestation is wounding them. You're stripping them. You're robbing them of everything that they have. There are people that just been robbed of a life. Yeah. There's some people that has gotten into some bad marriages and was battered as being battered wives and beaten. And now the next man can't do nothing with her. Amen. Because, amen, she's been robbed. There's some men folk that don't trust his wife. Or can't trust anybody because he's been wounded and robbed, and they departed and left them. There are some damaged people in the world, left half dead. My brothers and sisters, but to make matters worse, there came down a certain priest that way. And Jesus said he came down. In other words, he was coming down from Jerusalem. A priest coming from church. And he saw the man left half dead. Now, I can understand if the priest was going to a feast or a ceremony, because there's a certain amount of time that the priest had to make sure that they cleansed themselves before they participated in the ceremony. But I believe that the ceremony was over and done with. So there was no excuse for the priest to depart himself. And here the priests represent the leadership of faith. If anybody should have helped the man, it should have been the priest. The priest is trained and taught in the way that he is to show compassion upon the people. But it wasn't the priest. Because the priest saw the battered woman. The priest saw the molested young girl. The priest saw the raging, angry young man in violence. The priest saw. Hallelujah. But he decided to stay in his four walls, and he decided to pass on the other side, ignoring the issues, ignoring the problems, ignoring what's going on in the world. The priest saw the man half dead, but he chose to go around him on the other side. Now, it wasn't just the priest, but there was the Levites. Oh my God. The Levites were the group of men and women. It was the tribe in which the priests come out of. The Levites also participated and assisted the priests in the religious ceremonies. And the Levite, not only did he see the man, but the Bible says in the 32nd verse, he too was coming from church. He was coming from Jerusalem. And when he was at the place where the man was, came and looked upon him. He took the time to look at. He took the time to fix his eyes upon the wounded man who had been robbed. He took the time. Oh, church. The Levite here represents the churchgoers. And I said that definition correctly, the churchgoers, because it was the churchgoers who fixed their eyes upon the violent young man. It was the churchgoers who fixed their eyes upon the molested young girl. It was the churchgoers who fixed their eyes upon the battered wife. And it was the churchgoers who fixed their eyes upon the wounded married man. It was the churchgoers who took the time to be nosy and get in to the man's business and to want to know what happened. How many wounds, how many times was he hit on his head, and how many times was he stabbed in the back, and how many times was he talked about, and how many times was he lied on, and how many times has he been evicted, and how many times has his car got repossessed, and how many times? But yet, after getting all the information, after getting all the news, and after looking upon the situation, the Levite still went to the other side and passed by the man. Service of a servant. And now here comes a Samaritan. Well, why did Jesus use a Samaritan? Well, Let me answer that question. I'm glad you asked. There was Jews that was authentic, straight Jew. Mother was a Jew. Daddy was a Jew. But then there was the Samaritans who was half Jew. They were mixed people. Daddy might have been a Jew. Mama might have been a Canaanite. Mama might have been a Jew. Daddy might have been Ammonite. but they were mixed. And they wasn't pure Jews. And Jews didn't like the mixed folks. They didn't like the half-breeds. They discriminated against them. They despised them. They considered them dogs. They called them as an outcast. But here is the Samaritan. Came to the same place that the priest came to. Came to the same place that the Levite came to. But it was the Samaritan that saw him and had compassion on him. It wasn't the priest and it wasn't the Levite. It wasn't the church leaders. It wasn't the church members, but it was that one that was considered a man outside the realm of the religious, ceremonious culture. In my studies, I found out that Samaritans, they too worshiped the Lord, and they too followed a man, the Torah. But because they wasn't allowed to worship in Jerusalem, they worshiped in another place. There was discrimination. Does that sound familiar, people? As I was looking through the Martin Luther King speeches, he mentioned something. He said the most segregated hour is on Sunday mornings because of discrimination. We don't like this one and we don't like that one because they're not like us. They don't look like us. They don't act like us. They don't talk like us. But it was the one that didn't look like you. It was the one that didn't talk like you. It was the one who didn't act like you. It's the one who don't serve like you. It was the one, hallelujah, the Samaritan had compassion, bound up his wounds, poured oil and wine, and set him on his beast, anointed him, and brought him to an inn, took care of him. And on the next day, when he decided that he needed to leave, he took out 2 pence and gave it to the innkeeper and told him to continue to take care of him. This was about 2 months of pay. So the man was beat pretty bad. He was wounded pretty bad. He was damaged pretty bad. And the priest overlooked him, and the Levite overlooked him. But it was the Samaritan that took him in. Now, Jesus, I'm at my close. Jesus asked the man, the lawyer, he said, "Now, which of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that was robbed? Thinkest thou was the neighbor of him that fell among the thieves? And he said, him that showed mercy on him. My brothers and sisters, the message on today is service of a servant. Amen. You don't have to have a title to be a servant. You don't have to be part of the clique to be a servant. You don't have to be part of the who's who to be a servant. Amen. But all you have to do is love the Lord with all your heart and love thy neighbor as thyself. And as Jesus said, go and do likewise. Do like the Samaritan. Amen. Don't try to be like the preacher, because the preacher might not be doing what the preacher ought to be doing. Don't try to be like the church folk, because there's some church folks not doing what the church folks ought to be doing. But be like the Samaritan. Yeah, the one that nobody like, but yet he's doing good. I know there's some people saying, oh, he's damning the church. He's talking about the preachers and the church folk. But I'm trying to talk about what Jesus talked about. And Jesus made it a point to use the priest. And Jesus made it a point to use the Levite. Jesus made it a point to use the Samaritan. And his point was, amen, you don't have to be, amen, like the in crowd, but you can be on the out crowd. Amen. And you can still, amen, have everlasting life. Amen. You, amen, can, hallelujah. You can still, amen, do, amen, what God have for you to do. You don't have to live up to the expectation of the people. Amen. You have to live up to the expectation of God. Amen. You might not be part of the ceremony. Amen. You might not be part of the religious cult. Amen. But you, amen, that can be a part of God. Amen. All you got to do is accept Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. For, amen, Jesus himself was an outcast. Amen. Jesus was the Samaritan. Amen. Jesus was the one rejected. Amen. Jesus was the one talked about. Jesus was the one put down. Jesus was the one spit on. Jesus was the one lied on. Jesus was the one, amen, slapped. And Jesus was the one that had to carry the cross. Jesus was the one wounded in his hands and wounded in his feet. Amen. Jesus was the one hung up on the cross. Jesus was the one pierced in his side. Amen. But Jesus was the one that died on the cross for you and I. Amen. Jesus was the one that got up on the third day with all power in his hands. Jesus was the one, amen, that saw, amen, our wounds. And Jesus was the one that saw our sins. Jesus was the one, amen, that anointed us with the Holy Spirit. Amen. That we might be able to have the right to the tree of life. Jesus was the one that found us dead. Jesus was the one, amen, that gave us life. Jesus was the one. In the name of Jesus, I say thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It was Jesus, the service of a servant. Amen. He said, I come not to be served. Amen. But to serve. Hallelujah. And he served me. And he served you too. When he died on the cross. Amen. He served us. Amen. Because we were dead. We were yet sinners. But God sent his only begotten son, amen, that we might have a right to the tree of life. Whosoever believeth in him, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 The service of a servant. Saints of God, let us not continue to look on this world and see the violence and the evil and don't do anything about it. Let's not continue looking on that man, young man that's hurt, amen, and angry with the world and go out and create gun violence. Let's not continue to overlook that young lady, amen, that's been molested and has become part of the sexual, where they're kidnapping them. Amen. Let's continue not to allow these things, and we know about these things, and we not participate in the solution. For we have to be the solution. For we are the church. Let's not let the Samaritan do the work of the church. Pray with me, most heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we come humbly before thee right now. And oh God, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. Oh God, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you now. Oh God, we look to the hills from which cometh our help. Oh God, knowing our health and our strength come from you, oh God. Father, we look to you to help us, to strengthen us where we're falling down, where we're weak, oh God, where we pass by, those that have been wounded and left for dead. Father, help us, forgive us, oh God, but give us the strength as a Samaritan to do the work and do the will of that you have us to do in this life, oh God, that we can help as many as you allow us to help, that we can help as many as you give us the help, as we can help as many. Father, help us now. Strengthen us. Oh God, help us, oh Lord. And Father, we pray now for those that have lost their loved ones. We ask God that you just, look upon them, comfort their hearts. Father, those that are in the hospitals, amen, we ask that you just, let your healing power have its way, oh God. Anoint right now in the name of Jesus, your Holy Ghost. Father, we don't tell you to go there. We know you're already there, oh God, because you're omnipresent. You're everywhere at the same time. Do it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you and we praise you. We glorify you. We magnify you in your name. God, we lift you up and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're listening to this message, amen, and you know that you need God, you need a greater relationship with him. You want him to be, amen, your servant, that you can be his servant. This is your hour. This is your time. This is your moment. Amen. Pray this prayer with me. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Father, throw them in the sea of forgetfulness. I believe that you were born of a Virgin Mary. You were human, yet you were divine. You died on the cross for my sins. And you arose on the third day with all power in your hands. Father, I'm so grateful that you didn't keep the power to yourself, but you manifest the Holy Spirit that it may empower me. So, Father, I believe it. I confess it with my mouth and I believe it with my heart. Save me in Jesus' name. If you said that prayer, I believe right now that you're saved. And I ask that you just continue to worship with us, or find a local church, amen, to worship with, that you might have a greater relationship in Christ. Amen. We thank each and every one of you who have visited with us today. I see that we even had someone to visit from Canada. Amen. We're going international. Thank the Lord. Amen. This is God's ministry. It's all about Christ. Amen. We wasn't feeling too good when we started on this morning, but thank God for the Holy Spirit. We thank God for him this morning, and we just continue to ask you to continue to pray for us as we pray for you. We love you. God bless you. And if we can do anything, amen, to help you along the way, that you might make it to your destination, amen, feel free to reach out to us. because this is why we're here. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a great week. I apologize. Benediction. May our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Tell your neighbor, you're looking at one. You're looking at one. You're looking at one. You have no idea what God has brought me out of. You can't even tell when you look at me. I've been in a season of miracles. This is...